We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Starbucks veteran Howard Schultz is onboarding the company's next CEO. One of the challenges he sees? Stores have just become too complicated.
There's all these very intricate drinks that people are ordering every day, and it's made things hard for their baristas. And how can they try to make that better?
We'll have more on the company's reinvention plan and why Goldman Sachs plans to cut hundreds of jobs. Plus, in a deep sea of TV content, why are the pools of Emmy nominees so shallow? It's Monday, September 12th. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. This is the PM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories that moved the world today. In the UK today, King Charles III visited Parliament, where he delivered his first address as monarch, and lawmakers expressed condolences over the death of his mother, Queen Elizabeth II. The king also flew to Edinburgh, where he led a royal procession of the Queen's coffin, which will be flown to London on Tuesday. Her funeral will take place next Monday. In business news, Goldman Sachs plans to cut hundreds of jobs as early as next week as part of its annual performance reviews. That's according to a person familiar with the matter. The banking industry has been experiencing a slowdown in mergers and initial public offerings this year. Goldman had record-setting results in 2021, but last quarter it reported a 41% drop in revenue from investment banking. The bank's profit also fell by nearly half in the same period. In other banking news, Wells Fargo has agreed to pay about $145 million to resolve allegations from the Labor Department that the bank's retirement plan overpaid for its own stock between 2013 and 2018. Wells Fargo neither admitted nor denied the allegations as part of the settlement, and in a statement, it said it disagrees with the allegations and believes it followed applicable laws. A management shakeup at Peloton. The connected exercise equipment maker says co-founder John Foley and other senior leaders are leaving the company. Foley, who had led the business for much of its 10-year existence, stepped down from the role of CEO in February, but remained on as chairman. The company says he resigned today. Peloton's chief legal officer and chief commercial officer are also leaving. In a statement, Foley said he was proud of the company and that it was time for him to start a new professional endeavor. Peloton was a pandemic success story, but now it's struggling with weaker demand for its exercise bikes and treadmills. It's undergoing a major overhaul, which includes plans to eliminate about 3,600 jobs this year, sell equipment on Amazon, and outsource manufacturing. The back and forth between the Justice Department and lawyers for former President Donald Trump continues over how to handle the documents taken during an FBI search of his Mar-a-Lago home last month. Trump's lawyers argue that an independent attorney known as a special master should review all the documents, saying they don't trust the DOJ to accurately represent what's in them. But of particular concern to the department is around 100 documents marked as classified, which the DOJ has signaled were central to a criminal investigation. As such, the department is seeking to exclude those documents from review by a special master. In Minnesota, around 15,000 union nurses from various hospital systems have begun a three-day strike over stalled contract negotiations and concerns about staffing and retention, wages, and patient care. The nurses' union said it's believed to be the largest ever strike of private sector nurses in the U.S. Minnesota's largest hospital system, Essentia Health, said it sought mediation, but the union declined, saying it's too soon to bring in a mediator and that it wants to continue to pressure hospital leaders to negotiate. Meanwhile, negotiations are continuing between freight railroad companies Norfolk Southern and Union Pacific and two labor unions ahead of a Friday deadline to reach an agreement. In case of a strike, the companies are proposing a limit to sensitive cargo and hazardous materials, and they've told customers that they may stop accepting certain types of freight to avoid the materials being left unattended or unsecured. The railroads have reached labor agreements with 10 unions. Talks continue with two, representing about 66,000 workers. Coming up, Starbucks' new CEO is taking the reins from a company veteran, three-time CEO Howard Schultz. More on their plans for the months ahead after the break.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Starbucks' new CEO, Laxman Narasimhan, will be working with a familiar face when he joins the company next month, three-time CEO Howard Schultz. Among his key tasks, learning about the company's culture, operations, and, of course, coffee. While Narasimhan will be following the roadmap laid out by Schultz and other top execs, a key challenge will be charting the future of the brand as it emerges from the pandemic. And it's sure to be a topic at Starbucks Investor Day on Tuesday. Joining me now with more on what lies ahead for the company's two CEOs is Wall Street Journal restaurants reporter Heather Haddon. Hi, Heather. Thanks for being here.
Thanks so much.
So, Heather, to start out, how unusual is it to have two CEOs working together at the same time at the helm of this company?
So it's not unusual for there to be a transition period for an incoming CEO to a company, but the transition time for this arrangement is kind of on the longer side. So Narasimhan is coming in and starting as incoming CEO and an executive in October, but then he actually takes the reins in April. So it's about 6 months where Howard Schultz is still the interim CEO, but Narasimhan is there as, you know, in this different role. So the two men have said this is a process that, you know, they've agreed upon and they think it's going to be beneficial for the company and the new CEO to learn all the culture, to travel across stores together, to really get a deep dive in the company before Howard Schultz hands over the reins. So in some ways, this does feel fitting for Starbucks because, you know, Howard Schultz does clearly really care about this company and really has been invested there. And I think we'll take a little time to get up to speed on a lot of things about the company and the culture and the operations, particularly at this time when there's been so much internal focus.
So, Heather, tell us some more about the expectations here about these two men working together and preparing for Narasimhan to eventually assume the role of CEO. How exactly will this work?
So they said last week during an internal Starbucks forum that the new CEO will be learning from Howard. They will be traveling to all their various markets all around the world. They will be meeting with employees. They'll be going to some of the company's roasting plants, seeing how those operate. And they'll get a real deep dive into the company's culture, its history, its operations, and also really addressing this, what they call the reinvention plan, which the company has been working on since Schultz's return to try to improve its operations, improve its employee relations, and he will be steeped in that process. So he said during this internal forum, he got a peek at the reinvention plan. He's liked what he has seen so far, but this is really something that has been developed before he got there. So we'll see also in time if he puts his own imprint on it as well.
And what experience can you tell us about that he brings to the table?
Narasimhan has never worked in restaurants before, but he does have a lot of retail experience and consumer experience. So he used to work for PepsiCo. He also was a consultant for McKinsey for almost two decades, traveling all over the world, consulting with companies. And in his current role in the UK, he's also worked for Reckitt, a major consumer company. So he does have a lot of retail experience. He has a lot of consumer experience. He has a lot of global experience. And his life story is really pretty incredible about how he saved to come to the U.S. from India, comes from a humble background. And I think some of that humbleness and the values that come with that is something that really attracted Starbucks to him as well, because they really care about values and culture in this company and in their executives.
Heather, like many businesses, Starbucks is seeking to reinvent itself. How exactly is the company hoping to do that? And what is the focus going to be on? And what are the key challenges going to be?
Yeah, so Starbucks has had what they've called this reinvention plan that they've been working on for months now, really since Howard Schultz came back in April. And they've convened, you know, constituents across the company to discuss what they need to do better. So that's for their employees. You know, Starbucks has been facing this big union push. They want to try to make their employees happier. Operations, you know, Howard Schultz has been very candid that their stores have gotten very complicated. There's all these very intricate drinks that people are ordering every day, and it's made things hard for their baristas. And how can they try to make that better? So those are some of the key points of this plan that they've been formulating internally for a while now. And they are expected this week on Tuesday to discuss that with investors, give a sense of, you know, why this is needed, what it involves, and how much it's going to cost.
And Heather, as you mentioned, this all comes ahead of the Starbucks Investor Day on Tuesday. What are the other expectations for this year's event? And what are investors likely to be keeping a close eye on this year?
So investors really want to know how much this is going to cost, this reinvention plan, and what it's going to mean for earnings. So Starbucks suspended its fiscal guidance in May because they were going through this whole process, and they said that they really couldn't predict how much it was going to cost until they went through this process of studying their reinvention and what that's going to mean for their earnings. So investors are really focused on that to try to predict what it's going to mean for the company and its stock in the short term and the long term. So that is really the marquee element of this. But we also expect them to discuss the U.S. business, the international business, to lead investors through some of their innovations that are coming to their stores and their operations. So it's a full day event, and we expect quite a bit of news to come out of it.
That's Wall Street Journal restaurants reporter Heather Haddon. Heather, thanks for your time today.
Thanks so much.
And finally, the TV industry will be gathering at the Emmys tonight to celebrate excellence in television. And there's been a lot of television to consider. About 400 scripted shows were submitted for Emmy consideration this year. But viewers might feel like they're experiencing déjà vu as hosts reel off the names of the nominees, since most of them are from the same few shows. Of the 106 actors nominated, 48% share a category with one or more castmates, up from 44% last year and 33% in 2020. Analysts say the big expensive campaign blitzes that push a few shows to voters have become even more pronounced in an era when there's just so much to watch. Our entertainment reporter John Jurgensen says Emmy voters are overwhelmed.
They, just like us, are hearing about the same handful of shows, whether it's Succession or The White Lotus or Ted Lasso. These are the shows that everyone's talking about, so Emmy voters are also thinking about those shows when they're putting down their votes when it comes time for nominations. So it's this kind of ironic thing where even though there's more out there than ever, there's possibly a smaller number of shows getting represented in the actual nominations.
And that's what's news for this Monday afternoon. We'll be back tomorrow morning. If you like what you hear, please rate and review us. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal.